Welcome to Federal Insights for October, Federal Digital Transformation in a Post-COVID World, sponsored by Appian.
Welcome to today's episode of Federal Insights. I'm Eric White. Today, we'll be airing a recent panel which took place at FCEA Bethesda's 2020 Tech Summit. The panel was hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller and included leaders from agencies that are in the midst of large upgrades to their IT systems. First up from the panel, we'll hear from Dr. Carl Mathias, Assistant Director and Chief Information Officer for the Information Technology Division at the U.S. Marshals Service, and Roy Varghese, Chief Information Officer of NOAA Fisheries.
Agencies are projected to spend more than $87 billion on IT in 2020. That would be slightly less than in 2019, but more than any other fiscal year dating all the way back to 2011 and beyond. The general thinking is that agencies spend anywhere from 75% to 80% of that money on operating and maintenance of legacy systems, and the rest on new development or modernization efforts. Now, those exact numbers are no longer available from our friends at OMB, and for some reason, OMB took them off the federal IT dashboard. It'll be interesting to see what those numbers actually look like, however, in 2020. Hint, hint to our friends at OMB out there, you may want to put those back on the dashboard, because the coronavirus pandemic has forced agencies to reprioritize spending and move faster into the digital world. We've heard a lot of stories about industry increasing bandwidth, adding more VPN licenses. We also have heard stories about how industry has lived up to that often talked about, but maybe rarely seen partnership with agencies as they've gotten networks and applications ready to handle the surge in remote access. Our panel is going to tell us how they met the pandemic challenges head on and move their agency, their mission services, to a digital experience and help out their customers. So without further ado, let's open it up to our panelists. We're unrehearsed, we're unplanned, so I always like to pick it out of the hat. Carl Mathias is from the Marshall Service. You get the short straw, you get to go first.
All right. Thank you, Jason. I'm not going to give you an extensive background, but we are the oldest federal law enforcement agency, formed in 1789. And as I like to joke, in 1790, I think our warrant tracking system went online. So when COVID hit, we had undergone a serious amount of modernization before that even happened. So when we had to respond to it, fortunately we were on a good path. And so I'll back the clock up a few years just to tell you that we had considered the problem of a pandemic 4 years ago. However, what we considered was that it would be in the DC area. We hadn't considered the entire nation, the entire enterprise, having to respond in a remote work situation. So when COVID hit, if I could talk a little bit about what our impacts were, as Jason's asked, first thing we found was, while the infrastructure was there, we didn't have enough licenses on our VPN nodes because we'd only considered the National Capital Region. We didn't have enough IP addresses on those nodes, so we had to add subnets. But after that, we were in pretty good shape. The rest of it has been purely cultural, to be honest. I mean, so we had already been on a path of modernizing and moving applications to the cloud. But now all of a sudden, administrative staff that out in the districts across the United States who had typically been in the courthouse with the marshals and their deputies were now at home and still needed to do that administrative work. The deputies are already in the field. That's their job, to be in the field. So how do we handle that? And what we have found over the last several months is that we have really accelerated a lot of electronic workflows, really just hit the accelerator pedal on it. We had been looking to modernize, for example, our internal affairs and discipline management workflow process so that you get away from spreadsheets and app access applications and things like that. We hit the accelerator on that and moved it forward. We also moved it forward on how you could order and request equipment through our ticketing system and our incident management system. So it was all electronic, all workflows. We also went off and accelerated the testing of some robotic process automation and put in a couple test workflows into our financial services division so they could operate in an automated manner down in our Austin Processing Center in Texas. So we've basically taken a lot of our workflows, enhanced the automations to enhance the telework capabilities, and we're dabbling now and heading more into the robotic process automation to take some of those people who are working remotely out of the loop. And so that's just a touch on what we've done.
All right, very nice. Thank you for that. Let's move over to Roy from NOAA.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk here. I know yesterday Admiral Gallaudet gave this this group a great overview of the amazing science stuff that we are doing at NOAA. But I'm going to take your lead. I'm going to give you some stats. Maybe we'll start with some numbers. NOAA Fisheries, the side of the house that I'm in, we support the U.S. economy with about $220 billion worth of economic impact in terms of activities and about 1.8 million jobs. And where does that come from? It's coming from the folks going out catching seafood that ends up on your plate. I'm a big food guy. I love my sushi. I love my filet of fish from McDonald's too, right? I'm not that fancy. But if you think about seafood, for the seafood to go from the ocean to your plate, it's got to go a long way. Not everybody lived like what our forefathers did, and lived near the coast, went out fishing, and what you caught, you ate. If not, you starved, or you tried to go hunting, right? We don't do that anymore. Now what is happening is that we are maximizing the potential of the natural resources in our ocean, and our agency plays a very key role in it. And for that, we have 50 locations and 4,000 people when, you know, beginning of the year. Now we have, 4,000 locations, right? Everybody's working remotely. From COVID expedited that aspect of it. But that doesn't mean that the science that we do, in terms of understanding the ocean, the climate, and the coastal, and the ecosystems that support the species that end up on our dinner plate, we still need to study it. We still need to do the science. We need to collect information. We need to be able to share it, because without sharing it, what good is it? That's the idea of this whole big data initiative in terms of maximizing the power of the data. And we need to be able to share it broadly, not just in our own house. We need to partner with other government and non-governmental entities, as well as citizens, to do the science that informs the decision-making that will ensure that the natural resources are here for generations to come. Because at the end of the day, you know, when all our kids come back from college, as mine did, they still want fish sticks because they're probably eaten at the dorm. And we want to make sure that the fish stick is still there and priced right. And we support that entire value chain along the way. And I can talk a little bit more later on in terms of how IT plays a role in that.
That's Roy Varghese, Chief Information Officer at NOAA Fisheries, speaking at a recent FCA Bethesda panel. We'll hear from more of the participants after a quick break. I'm Eric White.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
Welcome back. We continue with our panel on digital transformation that recently took place virtually during an FCA Bethesda event. You heard from the first two panelists. The next two guests are Jack Galvin, Associate Deputy Assistant Secretary of OIT at the Veterans Affairs Department. But first, we'll hear from Jed Hickman. He's the Acting Director of the Edgar Business Office at the Securities and Exchange Commission.
I can say one of your stats you mentioned in the opening there, the 58% that have adopted Agile and DevSecOps. I can happily claim that Edgar, from a program perspective, is now fully into an Agile methodology, and our new pipelines are close to DevSecOps. We're not mature by any means, but we're certainly heading down that path. And our first big Agile initiative was a significant infrastructure modernization of Edgar that we completed this last summer. We kicked it off about 15 months prior to that, using Agile. I think, like many legacy system owners, Edgar was still riding on physical infrastructure and a tech stack that was launched in the late 90s. Using Agile, using our great partnerships with our vendors, we completed a full back-end modernization in 15 months, within 2 weeks of the initially projected go-live date, and under budget. So to your point, you know, it worked for us very well. We now find ourselves in a fully modernized tech stack, containerized. You know, our development throughput is increasing by the sprint. We're already recognizing the operational and development benefits of that move. It wasn't easy. It's a massive cultural shift, as everyone has already heard. But it pays. You know, we're already seeing significant reductions in O&M, which you also mentioned. You know, our O&M costs through that modernization, you know, significant reductions in our O&M costs. So it's been a banner year for Edgar.
Thank you for that. And finally, Jack Galvin from VA.
Thank you, Jason. I admit I'm a little hungry after Roy's discussion of fish sticks, but I'll carry on. I think thanks for the opportunity here to represent what VA is doing in modernization. I think it's probably easier to ask what we're not modernizing in VA right now. Pre-COVID and you know, continuing through the last several months, we're getting ready to modernize our electronic medical record in T-minus 8 days. We go live at Spokane with a joint DOD-VA Cerner-based electronic medical record. We upgraded our supply chain management system in August at our first site, and we're going to have an aggressive rollout schedule shortly thereafter in FY21 here. And just for kicks, we're going to upgrade the financial management system this quarter as well. So, but COVID, kind of what Carl was doing is, you know, really emphasized our philosophy of, you know, modernization that was underway for scalable on-demand IT, right? And just so take the telework environment, for instance. You know, we at any given time pre-COVID had about 45,000 workers in work-from-home status, and that quickly went up to 100,000 more. And, you know, we weren't ready for that. We didn't have the equipment. We doubled our bandwidth and doubled the gateway infrastructure. Wonderful partnership with our vendor partnership, strategic sourcing. We were able to ship 200,000 laptops. But to modernize that experience, instead of just, you know, expand what you have, we're looking at virtual desktop infrastructure and options there. We have a 5,000 person pilot that we're investigating, looking for hopefully some clinical and administrative access in the remote environment that perhaps you could use your own device. I know we've got that, you know, underway now, and maybe obviate the need for us to provision anything at all, right? Just maybe you have an internet browser and connect securely. We also have obviously a very robust telehealth program, VHA being a huge, part of our mission. You know, we serve almost 20 million veterans at about, taking a page out of Roy's, it just made me think, I was going to say we have 1,500 locations, but you're right, it's a lot more now with the remote. But with telehealth, you know, pre-COVID, we basically, you know, had a pretty robust program, about 2,400 provider patient interfaces and encounters a day. Who would have known that number would have grown to 38,000 a day today? And it's still rising. So to modernize that, we, of course, you know, immediately, you know, increased our on-prem solution that we had. But then we introduced a commercial, cloud, very scalable option in our commercial cloud. And now we're way ahead of the demand. We can scale up, scale back down, and, you know, do a little bit better with tolerance of what you buy and what you use. That's, intelligent provisioning is something that we really want to get more involved in. So that area, again, I think, continued our modernization there. I would also say, like Jed, we really want to get more into DevSecOps. We've fully rolled out DevSecOps. We are really emphasizing low-code, no-code, environment and trying to deliver software faster. We've emphasized that we can deliver up to 6 times faster the software functionality versus our old methodology of delivery if we use low-code, no-code. And so we've done some of that. We've done it with, in COVID, occupational health for employee traceability and contact tracing. And also in just in our digital transformation, we've delivered during COVID things like our Annie platform, which is what we call our chatbot for veterans, right? That we can let them navigate without having to contact a call agent, you know, the top frequently asked questions. So we've rolled out that. We have an internal version for our own external, our own internal consumption for IT services, and that's called Able, and it's on our ServiceNow platform. We are a product line focus now. It's customer centric. It's about the business and trying to, purposeful movement of IT, right?
That's Jack Galvin, Associate Deputy Assistant Secretary for OIT at Veterans Affairs, speaking there in an AFSEA Bethesda panel. Hear the rest of our coverage of the panel after one more break. I'm Eric White.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
We continue our airing of a recent FCA Bethesda panel hosted by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. In part three, Jason asks the role things like DevSecOps and low-code, no-code play in their agency's modernization efforts. Specifically, he poses the question to Dr. Carl Mathias, Assistant Director and Chief Information Officer of the Information Technology Division at the U.S. Marshals Service, and Roy Varghese, Chief Information Officer for NOAA Fisheries.
So let me open it up to the entire panel here. This idea of DevSecOps, Agile, this idea of low-code, no-code, is that start to play into your modernization efforts? And how do you bring in that customer, the user? How do you ensure you're focusing on them? Maybe let's start with Carl.
So I wouldn't say we've gotten to DevSecOps at the level I'd like, but Agile is how we do business now. And we've taken it not just through software development, but we're also using it for when we're putting in infrastructure, when we're doing engineering type projects that are beyond just software, because we find a really effective way to do business. But coming back to developing services for users, if I could just start at the beginning, we had a rough start with Agile because the users did not understand what was going on, that we brought them in and we learned a lot about, boy, you better have a training program for your users who are going to sit with you, or you will have problems. And we did have problems in the beginning. However, once we got that down, now our users can't think of any other way to do it. So generally they're trained to the point when we go through the agency's IT investment management process, they already know they're going to be committed to working with us. They send us the A players, not the C's and D's, you know, that, oh, well, I got them available. We actually get some quality stuff. So what we have seen, picking on the thing I mentioned, the internal affairs discipline management workflow, we got the eight players in there, and that thing was not put out in record time, exactly how they wanted to see it. They're now excited to keep going through the sprints and enhancing it. We've seen the same thing on our capture modernization effort. That's been doing, Agile all along into the cloud. So I think if I were going to talk about Agile, I think it's been very beneficial. We're not seeing the failures. We're not seeing the misunderstanding of requirements we saw in the past before we brought that in. But we did learn some hard lessons along the way about, number one, training your users. And number two, there are some techniques for how you do Agile that work and don't work. And I'm not going to say this is the case for everybody, but we found that actually having the developers completely remote from our users in the beginning stages of a major project is a major disadvantage. They don't pick up on that body language and the facial interactions of the users that, I'm just going to tell you from experience, are important to see. So Agile's been good for us. DevSecOps, we're still working through. We brought in a new contractor last year. That's one of the things they're bringing to the table for us, is to reculture us into a DevSecOps environment. And we're working along that path.
And just real quick before Roy jumps in, the low code, no code, is that something, again, would be part of DevSecOps in the future?
It would. In fact, I would echo everything, Jack saying, but the low code, no code, we actually use products like IntelliTrack, that, you're supposed to limit the amount of coding. I'm not saying there is some customizations going on there. We know there is, but we try and limit that down. And I think that's been part of the secrets of the success too, is because it's low code, no code, you can make those agile changes. You can really make them on the fly, even between sprints, so the user's seeing some quick change. And then of course you don't have that burden of that code hanging around. And I've been in this business long enough to know what a million lines of Java and a million lines of C++ looks like. No, thank you.
All right. And Roy, jump in on the agile DevSecOps.
Sure. So like others who mentioned before me, Agile, DevSecOps, low-code, no-code platform, all of that is integral part of what we're doing at NOAA Fisheries. But I want to add to what Carl was just talking about, that the idea about the organizational change management and the culture to empower or enable these technologies or processes to succeed, you don't need to sell me on the value of agile development, but selling that and making that work in your organization, there is not a single playbook. You got to know your organization well enough. You need to know the program well enough. You need to get the input and buy-in and commitment from the business owner, the product owner, to be able to be getting the roll up their sleeves, get their hands dirty, be part of that sprint session, own the product, and be and march it to the finish line. Otherwise, us tech geeks will preach the gospels of low code, no code, DevSecOps, CI/CD pipeline, all of that stuff, and it's a bunch of gibberish to the business folks, right? So I go back to the question of why are we doing what we're doing? Whatever this is, right? Whether it be low code or agile, why are we doing it? Are we trying to improve the security? Are we trying to improve a business delivery, pace of delivery of a business functionality? And are the business partner willing to get an incremental delivery as opposed to we got to finish it all up? Right? Depending on the business need, some of these products or approaches may not be appropriate. So my advice to the IT community, the people in my shoes, is have that dialogue, have that discussion. And my ask of my partners in the industry is get yourself familiar with this type of a cultural aspect, as well as get your folks. Most of us are used to folks in our organization who don't change over every project. They're here for the long haul because they have great institutional knowledge. So adoption of these methodologies, processes, and tools require changing the IT workforce, whether it be feds or a contractor workforce. And that's a piece that we cannot overlook.
You've been listening to our airing of a recent FCEA Bethesda panel on digital transformation from the organization's 2020 Tech Summit. If you missed any part of this episode, you can find it online. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for October, Federal Digital Transformation in a Post-COVID World, sponsored by Appian on Federal News Network.
Need help accelerating your IT modernization efforts? Look no further. Appian is the leading low-code provider for the federal market, helping agencies simplify application development and leverage existing IT investments to deliver new solutions. Appian's secure, reliable, and scalable FedRAMP certified platform comes with the Appian Guarantee, your solution created and deployed in just 8 weeks. Learn more at appian.com/appian-guarantee. appian.com/appian-guarantee.
Help prevent the spread of germs. Wash your hands with soap and hot water for at least 20 seconds and always wash before you touch your face, eat, or drink. Use hand sanitizers. Limit sharing of eating utensils. Practice social distancing and avoid physical contact. Sneeze or cough into a tissue or the inside of your elbow. Avoid contact with ill individuals. An ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Download the free booklet at Scientology.org/stay well.